This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With two in three football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
After seizing the initiative on Tuesday night at Coventry, Kieran McInnes' side host Huddersfield this Saturday, looking for one more point to secure another promotion. Join us as we preview the big one here on the Blue Monday podcast. Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, discussing the town up or down since 2015. I'm Rich Woodward and welcome to the pre-match show, brought to you in partnership with the best pub in Ipswich, The Greyhound. We're here live on YouTube and on demand on podcast, giving you all the info you need ahead of Ipswich Town's weekend game. Joining me to make sense of all of this goings on, Seb Brown. How are your emotions, Seb? Are they in check? We can all put our one finger down, by the way. You need to put it back up at the end of the show, though.
I'm good, thank you. I am relatively calm. My voice might dip a little bit in and out tonight, I'm afraid. It's still not quite recovered from.
What's the cause of the voice? What's happened there, mate?
Just a bad day at work. Just a busy day at work. Tuesday I was perfectly calm, and yeah, just Wednesday. No, obviously it was saying the words Blue Army 497,000 times on Tuesday night. So yeah, no, I'm pretty calm. I'm even more calm after the Huddersfield manager's pre-match press conference, which we'll discuss relatively shortly. But yeah, here we go. This is it, as they say, and hopefully this is the last pre-match show of the season, hopefully.
Hoping so, yeah. Let's do a disclaimer right off the bat. I know people will join us as we go. People are going to process the next 48 hours in their own ways. I think as long as we're respectful in the chat, we can accept that people have different ways of processing that information. Big disclaimer, if you're a recent subscriber, if you've not joined us before on this show, we have a process just as much as Kieran McKenna and his team have a process. We will objectively, as much as possible, go through the opposition. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to give you the insights on the opposition. It's going to be very difficult. Seb has already alluded to some uncertainty that's come about through the manager's press conference today. But we will do our best to make things clearer. We will give you the insights so you can show off to your mates. And we will get to our predictions at the end of the show as well. But we very much want to hear from you. So let's dip into the chat and say hi to folks there. First up, David, almost there. Come on, you Blues, you're in first. Charlie's giving us a prediction straight off the bat. He's going for a 3-0. Bloody lovely, frankly. Paul is here. Evening all, come on, you Blues. Ashley, Saturday is the potential to be the best birthday ever or the worst. We will do the business, I'm sure of it. Happy birthday in advance, Ashley. Good to have you with us as always. Colin is here. So proud to call myself a Town fan. It's been a good season. Let's hope we can finish it off in the right way. Colin, great to have you with us as always. Nick is here, one step from immortality. Oh, don't put the pressure on Nick. Neil, evening all. Here's hope in the last 2 days in the championship for a while. Who'd have thought we'd say that in August? Gary is here as well. AD, good to see you. We met you in Coventry. We'll talk more about that in a second as well. Andreas is here. Norman is here. Nice to hear so many fans of other championship teams praising us and what we have achieved so far. A little bit of presumptiveness with some of the chat, which has always made me uncomfortable. As I said, we'll be caveating throughout. The job is not done until it's done here on Blue Monday. Paul, evening all. As Chuck Berry sang, this is the promised land calling and the poor boys on the line. I have no comment on that apart from I'm sharing it. And thanks for joining us, Paul, tonight. Neil, once more onto the breach. It's getting all very dramatic, Seb, isn't it? Loving this. Streaky is with us as well. Good to have you here. Matthew, surreal. I think that's a good summings up. Matt is here. Enjoyed a lunch at the Greyhound, I think, earlier on. Thursday night pre-match shows are always fantastic. God bless you. Insightful and humorous sometimes. But hoping this is the last one for a while. Matt, we agree with you there. Good shout from Alex here. We had a Brisbane weather update. I'm hoping that Michael is going to chip in with us at some point. Look who's here. Putting his one up is our mate Anthony. Good to have you here as well. Rob, can anyone send me some nails? I lost mine against Coventry. So, I don't know, Seb, have you seen any of this? Did you watch the game back on Sky or anything like that? The guy in the longest 12 minutes of our lives, he could barely look behind his mate.
I think he summed up that extra time period because there were a couple of injuries within the injury time, weren't there? So it just seemed to go on for absolutely ever. Yeah, I watched it back last night and it was a bit like Blackburn away for me, you know, scored early, playing really well. And then it felt a lot worse in the stadium than watching it back live. You know, I know Coventry had some chances, also they got the equaliser, but I felt much more under pressure when I was at the game watching it in real time than watching it back. Watching it back, you know, I thought we were relatively comfortable and relatively in control for pretty much most of the game. You know, we did our normal thing of letting them equalize and then once again taking the game to them and looking to build on a setback. But yeah, it just reminded me of the Blackburn game because I watched that one back as well, and that was very similar. You kind of felt it was wave after wave in the stadium, and watching it back there weren't that many chances. And yeah, it was an absolutely phenomenal night. I mean, it was very similar to Barnsley, wasn't it? The various Blue Army chant that went on and on for minutes on end. And then the relief, the celebrations at the end. I think, did you put on in our Telegram group, you've never hugged so many strangers in all your life. So yeah, an unbelievable night, unbelievable scenes, and sets it up beautifully for this weekend.
Yeah, a few more chats. Thanks to everyone. There's loads of you out there, so keep them coming. Streaky. Last seen wondering, lost and feverishly around CBS Stadium car park. They absolutely screwed over a lot of people trying to get into car park C by closing the bridge that joins it. So I had to run across the A444, which was fun, taking my life into my hands. And Rando's here, beer, hot tub, and you guys roll on Saturday. An image there cast by our mate Rando. Good to have Kevin here as well, one of the Telegram VIPs. Thanks everyone for getting involved. Anything you want to it was you who nearly ran me over in the car park.
I'll remind that 20 quid's on its way to you, Rando. I'll sort the answer.
Did you have a good birthday in the end, Seb? Anything that you want to share, divulge from that day in addition? Or
I had some lovely messages, which you sorted out for me, from one from Nathan Broadhead. You had to get the Welsh link in there, didn't you, being a Welsh resident myself. I had a lovely birthday message from Nathan Broadhead. One from David Johnson, which was phenomenal because he's my favourite player of all time. I think I've mentioned it once or twice. And then you got me a birthday message from Jonathan Frakes from Star Trek, Captain Riker, showing my nerdy side here, aren't I? Which was like a minute-long phenomenal thing. He wished us luck on the night. He wished Ipswich luck. And yeah, it was an excellent birthday in the end. You know, I was calm throughout the day, got a little bit nervous on the way to the stadium. The matches, like I said, you know, felt worse in the stadium. The scenes at full time were absolutely phenomenal. And then I pretty much listened to the Waka Waka song on constant loop for 2 hours on my drive back singing along. So yeah, absolutely phenomenal.
And Seb has no voice because of that, if you're joining us late. I'm going to put this up there because I think you would put it up there, Seb, if you were hosting. Alex, surprised Seb not giving Rich any Cov fan ribbing.
Someone asked, disappointed when you bought the half and half scarf. I'm not going to lie. I know you said, I'm not going to take it in the ground.
I bought it from home as well. I'd already got it.
You put it straight in your car and said, please don't tell anybody. I was a bit disappointed in you for that, to be honest, but there we go.
Yeah, as someone, our mate Stephen walked past and said, have you still got your season ticket, Rich, and all that kind of stuff. But
and you were singing Push Up Sky Blues. We had to tell you to be
Push Up?
What is it?
Play Up. push up, Scott.
You'd know. You'd push know. Up. Laid that trap for you, didn't I?
Walked straight into that one. Boom. Other bits and pieces to bring your attention to. We will dip in and out of the chat all night. As we say, here to talk about Huddersfield, but please play nice so I don't have to move around and start putting out fires in the chat. ICFC women have also got their season finale. Men, hopefully, women definitely, on Sunday at the AGL Arena. Do get down there, 2 p.m. kickoff against Billericay, a bit of a local derby there. ITFC on the back of 3 wins on the trot as well, so really strong form. If you're looking for something to do on Sunday afternoon, then head down to the AGL and get involved there. The team very much appreciate the support. I know it's going to be a difficult weekend, or a complicated weekend to figure out at this stage. But please do get involved there. And we're pointing out, Lucy O'Brien's sponsored by the podcast and some of our subscribers as well. Netted a hat trick last time out in the running for player of the month as well. So congratulations to her, really good month. And hopefully, like the men, finishing strong on the weekend. Another thing to draw your attention to as well is Ipswich Town fans supporting food banks. They will be collecting again usual points in the fan zone. Seb, they are close to a really exciting and really fantastic milestone in terms of donations, aren't they?
They are, yeah. At the time of tweeting, I think it was yesterday, they tweeted they're so close to £10,000 worth of donations and, you know, various contributions from all the kind, lovely people. So let's please have one last push. You know, the team have got one last push. Let's give fans supporting food banks one last push as well and get them over that line. It's the usual collection points in the fan zone and on Portman Road. You can go on Twitter to @ITFC_FSF for all the details. And Rich has kindly put a list on the screen there of the things they kind of want. It's toiletries, ready meals, cereals, Kellogg's, pasta, tinned beans, tinned fruit. Think about, you know, things that will last for a long time. So great work those guys do. Please, if you can, help them out. And if you go on the Twitter link, there's a link for monetary donations if you want to do that as well. So great cause, and it shows, as we said so many times, the power of football.
Yeah, the positivity of football. And we've retweeted the link as well to donate, and they are in association with Families in Need. I think that's the charity, the Ipswich charity that they're involved in, and the club have been involved in as well. So really great causes there, really important, impactful stuff, as Seb said. I think they also welcome clothes donations if they're in reasonable nick as well. So do support those guys. You'll see them around. And yeah, a great season for those guys and all their hard work as well. Very quickly on let's go back to the chat. Really great stuff in there before we get onto the meat of the pod. Is it the meat of the pod? I guess it
is.
Really
it the meat and gravy, were you going to say? The meat and bones of the pod?
I say meat and veg. I don't know what I'm talking about. The universe doesn't care. Help me out. My stomach has been churning for weeks, he says. George is here. I want to thank you all during my Ducks Time. This pod has kept me going. Love you all. Love you, George, as well. Appreciate you. Thanks for sticking with us. And we're happy to be here. We will be here throughout the summer as well, talking about lots of different things as well, but I always appreciate comments like that. So thank you, George, for getting involved as well. Mikey's here getting involved, good lad. Good stuff. There you go. Maureen, who runs Find Such a Lovely Woman, exactly right. Yeah, good. I've put it off as long as I think I can, Seb. Let's talk about Huddersfield. The words that are ringing in my ears are and caveated again, this is the show of caveats tonight. Still work to be done on Saturday, but owners relegate clubs. And it kind of feels, you look at Birmingham in the bottom three at the moment, Plymouth down there, managerial churn, not a good situation. And whilst there might have been best intentions, perhaps it's just played out in a way that is not worked and backfired, and some managerial decisions probably front and center for that. Is that fair?
I think so, yeah. So for those of you guys obviously don't know, they were taken over last summer by a chap called Kevin Nagel, who's an American businessman. He bought the club. We know they were kind of, they had this miracle season last year where Neil Warnock, who is the perfect manager you would want probably for the position they find themselves in this season again, comes in and he manages to get them across the line and keeps them up. And then Nagel kind of does these, he's very vocal on Twitter, and he did part of his statement when they announced the takeover was, "I will not let you down." And this would be the point where you put the Mick McCarthy gif on the screen saying that went well, because it's obviously clearly not gone to plan for them at all this season. They're on their fourth manager, if you include caretakers. Neil Warnock, as we said, would have been the perfect person to get them out of this situation. He left relatively early on. It was kind of announced as a mutual consent kind of thing. You know, Huddersfield came out and said they wanted to appoint their long-term manager plans. And, you know, Warnock was saying, oh yeah, it was always prearranged. I'd do a few months and then look to step aside. But there were a lot of rumours that he was unhappy with the summer transfer business. So they lost him. Darren Moore went in, the nicest football manager in the world, as we all know from last season. Couldn't really affect any real change.
At the time, Seb, admittedly, they did well. We'll talk about it later. They got a point off us, didn't they, in the away game. It just didn't feel like a fit there. I think Darren Moore had done really well to get a championship job, if I'm honest. I do like him.
Well, he's just been relegated by Port Vale, hasn't he? So,
has he?
I think he sum up that quite nicely.
Let's stop right there. Breaking news. Morning, Michael. Thank goodness. It's dark. 22 degrees this morning here in Brisbane. Continue, Seb.
Yeah, he couldn't invoke any change at all. So they made another managerial appointment. They've gone for Andre Breitenreiter, who's very experienced at the Bundesliga level, no experience of the English game whatsoever. And if any of you have kind of read his post-match comments for the last couple of weeks or watched his pre-match presser today, he doesn't appear to be overly enamoured with most of the playing staff. So, yeah, I mean, they've got a few saleable assets who will probably get picked off in the summer by those higher up the food chain, and it's all been a complete mess, hasn't it? We know where they sit in the table. They are not mathematically relegated, but as good as. They're 23rd with 45 points, 3 points away from Plymouth, 3 points away from safety, but crucially, there needs to be a 15-goal swing on the last day, which it's just not going to happen, is it? They've only won 9 of the 45 games so far this season, which is a win rate of 20%. This is the interesting stuff. They've drawn 18 games so far this season, which is the highest in the league. They've lost 18 as well, goal difference of minus 27, and those draws have absolutely killed them. As I said, it's the highest in the league, and they've only actually lost the same amount of games as 10-placed Preston. For a bit of context, it's the draws that they just haven't been able to get going in the slightest. 8 clean sheets so far, which is the second worst in the league behind bottom club Rotherham, and they've conceded 75 goals, which again is the second highest, again after Rotherham.
Yeah, it does feel that I'm seeing this with Birmingham as well, that Gary Rowett has come in, maybe made them tough to beat, but not given them enough impetus to actually convert those draws into wins. As we'll talk about the recent form, there's a couple of games where they've let stuff slip late on as well. That kind of fitness, perhaps, the stamina to be able to see things out, maybe hasn't worked for them either. It's obviously sad for them to be in that situation. Some really challenging circumstances that are perhaps a little bit of their own making, if we're being brutally honest. The recent form, Seb, do you want to go through that?
Yeah, only one win in the last 10, 5 defeats and 4 draws. They're 19th in the 5-game form table overall. One win, that came against Millwall. 2 draws against Bristol City and Birmingham, crucially last time out, which basically relegated them. And 2 defeats against Swansea and Preston. Their away form is pretty hopeless. 19 points from 22 games played. Same record as Sheffield Wednesday, the joint worst. They've only won 3 games away from home, along with Plymouth and Birmingham. Only Rotherham with 0 have won fewer games so far this season. As I said previously, they don't get beaten that often. They've only actually lost 9 away games, which unbelievably is the 8th best in the league. It just comes back to these draws. 10 draws away from home has absolutely killed them. The away goal difference is minus 17, which is equal 20th with Plymouth. They've conceded 39 goals on the road, which is the 5th highest in the division. Only 2 clean sheets away from home so far this season. It's just gone horribly, horribly wrong. I think if you were being objective and looked at them in the summer, you would say this squad is clearly not good enough probably to stay up at this level. But when you've got someone like Neil Warnock in your dugout, he's always going to add those extra kind of incremental margins, incremental gains you need to get you across the line. I think as soon as you lose a manager of that charismatic nature, that kind of, you know, that know-how, that kind of, you know, that ability to get those extra 10-15% out of players, a bit like we saw with Mick in the year he kept us up, as soon as you take that away from the club, I think it was the writing was fairly obvious, and so the writing was on the wall. It became fairly obvious to me they were going to start struggling, which unsurprisingly they have.
Yeah, and as you kind of mentioned, and we'll talk about the Birmingham game now, It's drawing against the teams that are around them that are the problem, aren't they? There's a win against Millwall, a set piece or a second phase from a set piece, more on that later on as well. But it was kind of a really pivotal game, wasn't it? I mean, there's a draw with Rotherham in the mix there as well. Bristol City, where, as I mentioned, they were 1-0 up and conceded a last-minute penalty. But this draw at home as well to Birmingham has really done the damage, hasn't it?
It has, yeah, and they lost to Stoke as well recently. So all the games they've had around them, they've actually played kind of, if you look at the business end of the season, since mid-March, they've played Rotherham, Stoke and Birmingham, and they haven't picked up a win in any of those games. You know, you'd probably look at kind of back-to-back home games with Swansea a couple of weeks ago and Birmingham, think, right, that's our chance to really get ourselves out of trouble, and they just haven't been able to do it at all. The one-all draw we were discussing with Birmingham, that we said effectively relegated them, Birmingham went 1-0 up just before the halftime whistle. It was an added time at the end of the first half. Huddersfield equalised very early on in the second half, but again couldn't get the result they needed. They edged it ever so slightly, maybe on the possession stats, 54% to 46%, 12 shots for both clubs, 4 shots on target for both. Birmingham had slightly better XG and 3 big chances for Huddersfield and only 2 for Birmingham. So yeah, yet again they've kind of shot themselves in the foot. And even if they'd have just won one of these games, you know, Stoke, Rotherham, the Millwall game they lost, this game against Birmingham, their season would still have stuff riding on it. So from a town point of view, we're absolutely delighted that they've got nothing really to play for going into the weekend's game.
Yeah, it needs a massive swing, doesn't it? Talk about Andre Brighton Wright, and then Seb. We've talked about, we've alluded to his press conference stuff and being a bit outspoken. We'll talk about his kind of some of the tactical stuff that you've observed of late, certainly. But on paper, and I always love, you know, I'm pretty famous for my cliche, on paper, he's got a really excellent pedigree, hasn't he? You know, in theory, this is a really excellent appointment, but sometimes it just doesn't work, doesn't it? It's a fit, or sometimes, as he's probably alluded to, the damage was done before he arrived, perhaps.
I think he's made that quite clear multiple times, yeah, hasn't he, in kind of press and in media in the recent week or so. He's trying to pretty much distance himself. He's gone into self-preservation mode, which I guess is fair enough. He's trying to isolate himself and point the blame, putting the finger of blame elsewhere. He's managed 12 games, only 1-2, drawn 5, lost 5, 0.92 points per game. We've discussed his managerial pedigree. Like you said, you know, he's managed some decent-sized clubs. Paderborn, Schalke, Hannover, FC Zurich and Hoffenheim. He actually won the Swiss League with FC Zurich in 2022. He had a playing career. He's a striker slash attacking midfielder. He played in the Bundesliga and the Bundesliga 2 for most of his careers. He's got a couple of promotions on his CV up to the Bundesliga from Bundesliga 2 with Hannover and Paderborn. So yeah, he does come with decent stock, like you say. Is he the right man for an English kind of relegation scrap? Maybe not. But as we keep saying, they had that person in the dugout at the start of the season, and perhaps with a little bit more investment last summer, they could have potentially kept Warnock, and then who knows where they would have been now. And we've seen in the last couple of weeks the comments that Brighton Wright has been coming out with. He's been absolutely throwing people under the bus. He's questioned their heart, their desire. He's saying that people have left early, presumably from training or from, you know, team meetings or team meals they should be involved in. And then today he's come out and he's kind of said, you know, the players aren't fit enough. Some of the players think they're smarter than the manager. It'll be interesting where some of these players go, because these days clubs ask for references about certain types of character, etc. He said most dressing rooms can handle 2 or 3 disruptive players, but in this group, the disruptive group was far too big. And this really weird statement where he said, you know, he's been in the game for 30 years, and he's saying some of the things I've seen in the last 2.5 months, I can't describe how kind of shocking they are, which makes you think, what has gone on? I just thought they were, you know, crap. I just thought they were a crap side, and he's not been able to turn them around. But we don't know how much this is self-preservation, how much of it is actually accurate. But, you know, it does make you think what has been going on at this club for the last few months, because, yes, they're in a complete mess. It's a real fall from grace. We know Carlos Corberan got them to a playoff final not too long ago. 2 years ago, was it? They lose to Forest. And then, yeah, it just seems to become an absolute basket club. I've got a quick quiz question for you here. Uh-oh. Since we appointed Kieran McKenna, how many managers, including caretakers, do you think they've had since McKenna walked through the doors at Town? So 2.5 years. Yeah, December 2021.
Shall I pretend that we didn't talk about this earlier, but I have forgotten the actual number, but I would guess, I'm trying to remember, there was someone else, it might be Huddersfield, but 9 is in my head. It might be a different team. I think it's Cole U, 9, including caretakers. Is it the same number for Huddersfield?
It is, yeah. 6 permanent and 3 caretakers. Wow. I mean, yeah, in 2.5 years, that's absolutely, yeah, nuts. So I think that shows where they are, and they've become this complete basket case this season, haven't they?
Yeah, and you kind of feel like if you're going to go down the Tough Love, the kind of Paul Hurst to Exeter route, the time to do it is maybe when you come in as a bit of like a, you know, guts or glory kind of thing. You know, you set your stall out early. The people that want to gravitate towards that kind of messaging will. The ones who want to, you know, who aren't up for the fight, you can bomb out. But doing it later in the season, and particularly this weekend of all weekends as well, just seems very bizarre. Very briefly said, but I'm going to stop you. We need to say good day and thank you to Nathan for the super chat. $7.99 Australian dollars. Legend. In the Virgin Lounge, Melbourne, on way to Brizzy for a 6 a.m. work flight. One more point, unreal. Thanks for all you guys do, Upper Towan. Thank you, Nathan. The job's not done until the job's done, but thank you for your support. If you want to do likewise, there's a button in the chat bar in YouTube, but a thumbs up would be very much appreciated. The numbers are ticking up. Thank you, everyone, for getting involved. Really appreciate it. We're going to talk more about Huddersfield and give you the insights. That's what we're here to do very briefly, and then we'll talk about us. Seb, I stopped you mid-flow.
I'm old. I genuinely can't. You've forgotten what I was going to say. I have forgotten.
Let's move on. I think we've done with Brighton Reiter a little bit. You know, I think we've done with that. The previous managers, we talked about that. Let's do some history on the head-to-head.
22 wins for Ipswich, 10 draws and 14 wins for Huddersfield. The last game was last September. Lee Evans' last appearance in a Town shirt for the suspended Sammy Morsey. A 1-1 draw, a very, very late equaliser. 87th minute, I think it was, in the pouring rain. It was a horrible, miserable day. Brandon Williams with a diving header at the back post. And yeah, we kind of got out of jail a little bit that time because I didn't think we played that well that day. The last time they came to Portman Road was October 2016. They beat us 1-0. They were top of the table that day, and they would obviously go on to get promoted that year back to the Premier League. And the last time we beat them at Portman Road was December 2013, 1-0 down, but an equaliser from David McGoldrick and an 89th minute winner from Daryl Murphy secured the points for us. You're shaking your head, and you know I'm going to ask you, which one would you rather have? Do you want the 2016 defeat, or do you want the 2013 victory for your final, hopefully, lineup quiz of the season?
I think I've got to go for the 2013 because 2016 is still a little bit easier, more recent in the memory. And I'm sure the chat, as always, are going to come to my rescue because I wouldn't know where to start with the keeper.
I'll give you a clue. It's not who you would think. It's, yeah.
Well, I was thinking, no, that's too early. He'd have been gone by then. It's not Fulop, is it?
No. No. This is 13, 14. This is only the year before the playoff team.
Okay.
This is Mick's first full season in charge.
So it's not Bart yet, is it?
No.
No, I can't remember. Help me out, folks. Neil's going for Cresswell in there. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, Cresswell was the left back, yep.
I've asked for this, but I'm
Toffee Crisp in the chat there. He's got it. Yeah, Gherkin in goal. It was Gherkin. Yeah, he was the number one that season, wasn't he? He signed the year before, the same year that Scoose joined us, I think. And then they kind of...
Scoose and Chambo then.
Scoose and Chambo, yeah. So you need the two centre-halves. Chambo was right back, so you need the two centre-halves.
Tommy Smith?
Yep.
Berra wasn't there at that point, was he?
No. Yeah, he was. Yeah, Christoph Berra.
Yeah. Mike, I'm totally off here. Okay.
And then three central midfielders. You've already got Skuse, so you've got two either side of him. One was a local Town lad.
Bishop?
No, one year too early, I think. Scored away at Wigan on Sky the following season.
Hyam.
Yeah, Luke Hyam. Other central midfielder was on loan from Fulham that season. Pretty decent.
On loan from Fulham. Wow. No, any other clubs he played for?
He got recalled in the January. I think he went to Millwall for a spell as well. No. There were some rumours we might keep him, but we couldn't. It was Ryan Tunnicliffe.
Oh, wow. Was he on loan from Fulham?
It was Fulham, wasn't it?
I'm not sure it was.
Or did he go to... Was he on loan from United and went to Fulham?
He went to Pompey, didn't he, in the end?
Yep. Ryan Tunnicliffe. And then you've got Murphy McGoldrick as the goal scorers. Who was the other... It looks like a 4-3-3. Who do you think the other striker was? I don't think you'll get it.
I don't know.
I'd be impressed if you did. Played for Cole U, Journeyman, played for a lot of sides.
Frank Nublé.
Yeah, Frank. No, you gave the correct pronunciation. Yeah, well then, yeah. Frank Nublé was on the other striker, yeah.
Wow, that was classic, wasn't it? Blimey. and that win is not in my memory either, but I was probably there.
You think it'd be memorable for being an 89th minute winner. Yeah. You think it would stick in the memory a little bit, but maybe not.
There you go. Callie's got it there, Nublé. Neil, Frank, good stuff. There's a lot of Hyam in there. Well done, folks. Scoose, Berra, good stuff. Light Eye Drone Services, there's a plug for you. Was very, pretty prolific on that kind of stuff. Blimey, there's opposition supporters in the chat. Be careful, people. I will start blocking people if it gets a bit silly. Let's talk about style of play. Let's bring things back up to date, present day. This is going to be, from this point on, folks, this is going to be really difficult for us to call. I think probably the headline, Seb, is that formation-wise, it's been really inconsistent. And frankly, that is not going to help Huddersfield's players, is it?
No, it could be anything, couldn't it? It kind of was established 3-5-2 under kind of Warnock and Darren Moore. We know Darren Moore played the three centre-backs from his time at Sheffield Wednesday, but they've used four different formations in the last five games. So they've used a 4-4-2, a 4-4-1-1, and a 4-2-3-1. So I looked into it for the entire season. They've used 10 different formations this year, which, as you say, is not going to help anybody at all. I was thinking their most dangerous outlet is probably Sorba Thomas, who we'll kind of talk about in a minute. And do you really get the best out of him? Because presumably, we know he's a wide player. In a 3-5-2, he kind of has to play a wing-back role and get up and down the line. Is that where you get your best out of him? I don't think so. So it seems a really weird formation to play when you consider he's one of their main outlets. They are the second most direct side in the league after Rotherham, only 19th for pressing, so they don't press overly well. But we've just discussed him, Sorba Thomas. They are top of the league for accurate crosses per game with 5. And I'd imagine 4.9 of those probably come from Sorba Thomas's right foot, because as we saw in the game at the John Smith's, is it still the John Smith's?
Yeah.
At the Huddersfield away game, he loves to put a cross in. So expect that a lot on the weekend. But being the last game of the season, being the fact he's buried half of the first team squad, it might be anything. It was a 3-5-2 last time out. It might be the same. It might not. We simply don't know.
Was Thomas involved last game? Was he benched? Yeah. I thought he
was. Oh, against Birmingham. No, he was on the bench. So that's, he came off the bench, but that's really, again, really weird.
Yeah. Gary asking, are there 10 formations? It's like playing cards. There's like billions of combinations, Gary. We just, you know, there's five dimensions now. It's not three. So, yeah, we can, we'll go through all 10, shall we? No, another time. Zorak, 118 formation incoming. Interesting top scorer, Seb.
Yes, Michael Helek, the centre-back, big unit. He's a Polish centre-half. He's got 9. He's their top scorer with 9. So if you're in a world where your centre-half is your top scorer, you are banging trouble. 7 of those goals, slight little alarm that you found out earlier, 7 of those goals have come away from home, and he's nearly scored a third of Huddersfield's total goals away from the John Smith. So one to watch out for at set pieces and corners. He is second for clearances per game in the division with an average of just under 6 per 90 minutes. So he's kind of their key man. He'll get snapped up in the summer. I can't see a world where he is there next year. Sorba Thomas, we've mentioned, 4 goals, 9 assists, expected assists of 13, plays down the right. Bizarrely was benched against Birmingham. We don't know really why. As I said, if you have him in your side and he's your key outlet, why would you do that? He's top for chances created in the entire league with 123. He's got 1 more in the chance creation stats than Leif Davis. So he is a real, real threat. The strike force could be anything. Last time out, it was Reece Healy. They signed him from Watford. Watford signed him from Toulouse last summer. He's got 3 goals in his last 7. And perennial kind of championship stalwart, Danny Ward, who's been around at Cardiff and Rotherham. He started up front for them in the last game as well. He's only got 3 goals all season. They've got Bojan and Radulovic, who they bought in January, spent a bit of money on him. He's got 1 goal in 10 appearances, but he'll likely be a bench option unless they want to give him some minutes, being the last day of the season. They've got a couple of loan players. Now, he kind of, Brighton Reiter came out, didn't he, and said that he's going to reward the players who've trained well. And if you're not going to be here next season, there's no point that you'll make the journey to Portman Road on the weekend. So these loan players might not feature. They've got Delano Bergsoff, who's got 7 goals in 33 appearances. He's kind of a left winger slash striker. He was caught on camera arguing with the home fans at full time, telling them to give the team more respect 3 weeks ago after their defeat to Preston. He's on loan from Maine. So I think if you factor in that kind of argument with the fans and the fact he's on loan, I'd be surprised if we were to see him feature on Saturday. They've also got Alex Matos on loan from Chelsea, 19 years old. Again, very unlikely he'll be back there next season, so he might well drop out of the side. They've got Jack Radoni from Wimbledon. I always quite liked him as a player. Yep. I thought he was quite good in the away game as well. He's a likely starter alongside Ben Miles and probably David Kasumu as the three central midfielders. Josh Caroma will ring a few bells from last season on loan at Pompey. He's got 6 goals and 2 assists, can play either flank, but tends to play down the left. And Chris Maxwell's been confirmed. This is the one person we do know will play. Chris Maxwell, the reserve goalkeeper. They signed him on loan in January from Blackpool. He will get the nod. Nothing to do with the Lee Nichols attitude. Brighton Wright was very keen to point that out. He just said he deserves a game. And the last time he played at Portman Road was a certain Paul Lambert's managerial debut. He was in goal for Preston North End. He got himself sent off. Sam Gallagher went in goal and made a worldy save from Danny Rowe. So he hasn't got the best of records at Portman Road. They do have one shining light, Brody Spencer, who's kind of a centre back slash right back. He spent the first half of the season on loan at Motherwell, got recalled in January, and has since made 19 appearances. Voted young player of the month, voted player of the month for March. He's, I'd imagine, will get snapped up. He's kind of the one shining light so far this season.
Yeah, there's going to be, I think, probably an opportunity for a few of those kind of peripheral players and young players coming through on Saturday if Brian Wright is to be believed. It might be posturing, of course. He might play his strongest team, but it doesn't feel like that. Worth mentioning, Reece Healy, you talked about him, 3 goals in his last 7, is a bit of a physical presence up front as well. Good threat there, so needs to be watched for. I mean, probably it's worth talking about the young players that might come in. Tom Yapenda, 19-year-old centre mid, only made one appearance in the league, but former Brighton trainee, really bright prospect, brought into the first team by Darren Moore for their game against Leeds earlier in the season. Luke Daly, a 21-year-old left back slash centre back, again, not really featured in the league, but you kind of feel that if he's pushing out the troublemakers, if that's what we're believing, then you give opportunities maybe off the bench for some younger players. So those are some names to look out for, but it is very difficult for us to call that the formation and the personnel apart from, it seems,
Chris Maxwell. He did say, to be fair, didn't he? He did say there won't be wholesale changes. You know, don't rock up expecting to see a team of 18 and 19 year olds. He made it quite clear that to protect the integrity of the league, it wouldn't be a complete kind of fire sale in terms of who comes in and who goes out. So yeah, I'd imagine it'll be quite telling that if there's obvious senior players that aren't in there, it would suggest these are the ones he's been referring to in his pre-match presser. And as you say, there'll be kids on the bench who, if hopefully the game is going as we hope it will, and we're in a pretty comfortable commanding position at, let's say, the hour mark, he might just look to give some of the kids a bit of a run out to have a look at them before the summer.
Got a plan for the future, haven't you? A couple of big players, Seb, absent. Hasn't helped, has it?
No, Jonathan Hogg has not featured since the end of March with a shoulder injury. He's 35 now, but you know they've got a relatively youthful midfield. Rodoni's only 22. Alex Matos is 19. So I guess having his experience alongside them in centre mid could have made a bit of a difference. And Tom Lees is out for the season, so he won't feature either.
Blue Monday are delighted to be partnered with TalkSport Fan Network and NordVPN, giving you the best possible offering for browsing the internet securely. NordVPN opens up global streaming options for content not available in your region by switching your virtual location quicker than Wes Burns running down the wing. NordVPN acts like your cyber Sam Morsey whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like passwords and credit card details from falling into the wrong hands. For about the price of an ITFC match program a month or a Blue Monday Telegram subscription, you can get yourself a NordVPN account which can be used across 6 different devices. If you need to rapidly change direction like Amari Hutchinson, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast or YouTube subscription to be taken straight there, supporting us here at Blue Monday in the process.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club. Because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Yep. Any statistical insights you want to share? We've obviously dealt with the kind of key ones. I mean, the league table, game 46 is going to tell a lot of the story, but anything you want to draw our attention to?
Nothing really jumped out too much. No, the possession and the passing accuracy was kind of the second worst in the league as per their league position. Their second fewest for short passes. We've already said how direct they will be. The second highest for crosses per game. We've mentioned that already. They average 18 crosses away from home, and 5 of those are accurate. Most of those will come from Sorba Thomas. So one to look out for. The attacking stats are relatively mid-table. 22 goals scored is 16th. 11 shots per per game is 16th. Three on target is 19th, so slightly better than their league position kind of suggests. There was nothing that really jumped out too obvious, to be honest with you. They are where they are because they're just poor, let's be honest.
Fair enough. Hello to Sheza 47, I think a Huddersfield fan in the chat. I'm trying to give us reassurance. I'll play out the Blue Monday caveat, which is the job's not done until the job's done. So appreciate you, Sheza. If you've got any other insights you want to share, please let us know, particularly on personnel that you might expect or hope to see. That'd be really appreciated. Seb, we'll talk about the referee after. Do you want to let's do the music. Come on, we've got to do it. Look at his face, everyone. Look at his face. And I'm really sorry to do this to Neil, who we absolutely love and adore and appreciate. But he's posted this, Seb. First goal, so important again. What say you to that?
Well, I would say, Neil, don't panic if we do fall behind. Huddersfield has taken the lead away from home on 13 occasions so far this season, but they have then subsequently conceded goals and dropped points on 10 of those occasions. So if it doesn't go the way we're all hoping and there's an early header from Michael Hellick at a corner, don't panic. The stats would suggest they will still look to mess it up as the game goes through.
Okay. There you go, folks. I think the general message for this game is to not panic at all anyway.
We know they won't. We know McKenna will be preparing for this like any normal game, and it should be, you know, hopefully the day we're all hoping it will be, but there will not be a single inch of complacency from any of the management, any of the squad. They will look to do this in a professional manner.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the wider context behind the game in a second, actually, and apologies to Sheza, who isn't a Huddersfield fan, and I've probably insulted as a result of doing that. One thing from me, I like talking about the referee these days. Referee Simon Hooper, who is an elite official. He's only officiated, if that's the word, four championship games this season. Otherwise, he's been at Arsenal, Man United, Man City, etc. Was it Nottingham Forest v Man City last week? My overriding opinion of him is that he's pretty lenient. Only three red cards in his 29 games. Maybe VAR has come to the rescue, perhaps, and rescinded some of those, perhaps. Averages four yellows per game. So I think maybe a game where obviously the official is used to the protection of VAR, and maybe that's interesting. Blue Monday caveat for next season. But moreover, I think it's be careful about certain decisions, and maybe if he's lenient, get stuck in. I think I kind of feel like we're going to need to take the fight to it. So there's some additional context for you. Before we start talking about Ipswich, there's a few bits of admin. And firstly, the numbers in the chat, amazing. Thank you, everyone who's watching. Please do give us a thumbs up. We really appreciate it. If you haven't subscribed, please do so as well on YouTube. If you are listening on podcast afterwards, we love you, appreciate you. Thank you, Team Podcast. A five-star rating is very much appreciated. And if you want to leave a review, as folk have been doing of late as well, even better. Thank you so much. As always, the pre-match show is brought to you in partnership with our friends at the Greyhound, the best pub in Ipswich, and they are open at 9:30 on Saturday for breakfast baps, easy for me to say, with a cider hash browns, if I read that rightly as well. So head down to the Greyhound. We will be there, and we may be there later on if there is something good to celebrate as well on Saturday too. NordVPN promo still going, link in the description if you want to access greater streaming content from regions abroad, or you want to browse securely. No judgments here. NordVPN promo there, get the best possible discount and support the podcast in the process. Do support Glory Days artwork as well. Let's see if I can do this. There's my print from last season from Brad and Glory Days artwork.co.uk. Seb's got one as well. ITFC fan, producing great content, so to give him your support as well. I'm running out of breath. Telegram group is still, the numbers are growing there as well in anticipation. If you are not able to get the game and you want some fellow Town fans to discuss it with, to make sense of stuff, head to Telegram. 2-week free trial as well, and then a subscription after that. But I'm sure match day chat will be buzzing on Saturday. Blue Monday, itfc.co.uk is our website. There's a link to join Telegram over there. AD? Thank you for asking. It's an app you need to download as well, but Leveler is our service provider, so they host our website there, and there'll be a button to subscribe. You don't even need a credit card to register as well, so do join in over there. the big one, the flagship show, as the guys were talking about on the show, the Coventry show, which is still available to watch as well, the kind of analysis of that match and looking ahead to flagship show, either the best flagship show ever or maybe the worst. But we'll have as many of the, as the pod team, hopefully, Blue Monday caveat, as many as we can for Sunday's assessment of Huddersfield. And I think, Seb, that's all I'm going to talk about there. I've plugged as much as I can. Let's talk about Ipswich. If you want to start getting your thoughts on potential lineups and people that you want to see in the team, now is the time to do that, folk in the chat. But I'm going to ask that question to Seb. I think probably there's a few specific questions I've got for you. Wolfenden and Edmondson is a debate for McKenna, isn't it? And maybe the context around Hellick is one that might play into that consideration. I think probably Morsy Luongo, there's no real doubt about that combo, I'd suspect. Who plays on the left wing for you? Is Burns capable of playing three games in a week? And who plays up front?
Right, so let's start. So what was the first one was the centre halves, wasn't it? The first one was, is it going to be Wolfenden or is it going to be Edmondson? I mean, Edmondson, yet again, you know, 10th start of the season was brilliant on Tuesday night. He's never let us down, has he, since coming back into the side when he hasn't, we don't see him for weeks. He suddenly gets parachuted in and does really, really well. He gives you the strong option. I mean, I thought he played Ellis Sims really well in terms of the physical battle up against him. He gives you that option, which Wolfenden doesn't, but I would think Wolfenden will probably come back in for this one. I know Hellick is a big threat, but I think Wolfenden for me has probably played 95% of the games whilst Kieran McKenna has been in charge. So I would assume Wolfenden and Burgess will be the two centre halves. Morsy Luongo, yes, I agree.
Sorry, it
will be
right those. Back. I guess Clark feels
Clark's
like
an injury now with a knee problem. So Twan Zabi's been great. He's probably played the last 10 games now or so at right back in the mainstay. So no issue with that at all. We know Leif Davis will play and be absolutely fine. Morsy Luongo, yes, in central midfield. They'll go again and do what they always do. And then I guess, the three behind the striker is interesting. I assume the striker will be George Hurst, given the fact that he didn't start the game in midweek. With Hellick, could make an argument for Kiefer Moore in terms of the physical aspect to kind of hopefully bully Hellick. But I think Hurst will get the start and look to create problems with his mobility and his pressing and his general hold up play up front. And then you've got this issue with kind of the number 10 role again. Do we look to bring Chaplin back in? I mean, if you'd have said you're 1 point away from the Premier League and Connor Chaplin might not be starting, we'd have thought, presumed he was injured and presumed something had gone very wrong, but we might be in that scenario again. I think Burns has shown in the last two games that ability to get in behind and, you know, pick out players incredibly well means if it's only cramp that he went down with, which McKenna says it is, hopefully he can do another hour for us again. You have to play Hutchinson. You simply have to. Yeah. Lovely threaded ball through behind the inside the fullback for Burns to get onto him.
Absolutely outstanding recently. Big game, Harry says. Yep.
So he has to be the 10 for me. And then Broadhead, he didn't look quite at it the other night, but then you said that and he had the chances. Header and he had the bar. Yeah, exactly. He had two great chances. So, I think if he can do it, if the medical team allow it, it will be Broadhead. But I want to give a shout out for Sarmiento. I've sat here in the past and said that Sarmiento is a better finisher than he is a starter. But the work rate he's put in the last game, Hull away. Yeah, Hull away and Coventry. He's tracking back. He's winning tackles on the edge of the box. And then suddenly he's driving up the field with the ball and moving us, you know, 40, 50 yards in really quick succession. So, I want to give Sarmiento a shout out. If he were to kind of get the nod and make a surprise start, it would be for me on the left. No issues at all because he's been superb. And we have this option, don't we, whereby we can look to trigger a second loan next season on promotion. And hopefully we take that because he's been absolutely brilliant. So, you've lost a picture behind you.
Oh, brilliant. No.
That's not an omen, is it? Christ.
No, well, I might try and remediate that, but we'll continue because podcast people won't have known that. A few people giving their full lineups. I just want to go to those very quickly. Tommy's going for Aladke, Twan Zabi, Burgess, Edmondson, Davis, Morsy Luongo, Broadhead, Chaplin, Hutchinson. Saying Burns off the bench feels like it's Chaplin's moment, like X last season, and Hurst. Thoughts on, you mentioned kind of Chaplin there. This is a game where it's really difficult to kind of call, isn't it, in terms of is it going to be one where I suspect Ipswich are going to have the majority of the ball, in which case I think it's a game for Chaplin and Broadhead to make stuff happen, actually, because if Huddersfield sit in, those players maybe, I think, create stuff. But if it's a kind of a rough and tumble game, then maybe it is a game for Sarmiento. It's really difficult to call, and I suspect, no, McKenna, it'll be consistency, won't it?
Yeah, I'd expect it to be Broadhead on our kind of left. Their right back slash right wing back, Oliver Turton, has just come back after, I think it was 7 months out with a really bad injury. So he might not be able to fit enough to go again. But if he is, then Broadhead will be looking at that thinking, yeah, I can kind of find space here and kind of create some problems. So if you're thinking Chaplin in the 10, presumably you're not going to be starting Burns. Burns will be on the bench for you, would you? And you'd play Hutchinson out on the right?
No, I would... It's difficult. I really want Chaplin to have the moment. Like Exeter, we keep forgetting how pivotal he was last season and at the start of this season as well. But we have to admit that form hasn't been great of late for whatever reason. He did have a back injury, you know, that we've probably forgotten about as well. But I do kind of like the idea of playing him in this game. I just have a feeling about it. So it would be really harsh on Burns and Hutchinson, frankly, though, isn't it? And we're talking about Burns in the Telegram group.
Hutchinson, in that scenario, no. I think it has to be Burns on the bench.
So I think maybe Chaplin has to start on the bench, perhaps. Which
I think so. And then, yeah, obviously he didn't get on against Coventry, but yeah, hopefully he can come on and make an impact with the hopefully the game gone the way we wanted to go.
Yeah, it's good to see that.
A lot of people in the chat I've seen are referencing. Do you remember last season at the last game where the Exeter game when obviously Clagkey came on for 10 minutes at the end? I've seen a few people in the chat are asking about. Do we think there'll be a similar kind of thing with Walton? I think if the game were, it won't be that comfortable. I can't envision.
It's not going to be a 6.
It's not going to be a 6. But yeah, potentially maybe if we're, let's say, 3-0 up with 10 minutes to go, then there might well be an opportunity for Walton to come on, because we know that McKenna likes to do that and show that level of respect. And I think did you see the lovely scenes at full time when Danasian was kind of pushed out by McKenna in front of everybody? And there was a lovely moment when Danasian and Caden Jackson kind of embraced, and you're thinking, wow, yeah, they're still here from the 2018 kind of summer, and they will be thinking to themselves, you know, yes, we've done the job. So just nice to see moments like that. And I wouldn't mind in the slightest if Walton were to get kind of 10 minutes if the game is comfortable.
Yeah, if it isn't a bit of a piss take, then yeah, I can understand that as well. Any final thoughts on the lineups? Yeah, Zorro saying that feel like Danasian send off, not like there.
I'd expect
difficult emotions around, as you know, a Portsmouth tear in my eye, JD at that moment. There's going to be a few tricky moments, isn't there, potentially, if things play out the way we hope they will, with certain individuals. Neil, love to see Vaz take a pen. Maybe be good at it as well. I'm trying to tiptoe and avoid predictions as much as possible.
Don't avoid it. It's the last time we have to do this rubbish feature for 4 months, so don't worry about it. Just get it over with, because it's crap.
St. Lucian Cafu says, Rando, who's already preparing a gif of my picture that I hastily put up before we started with no addition. Command strips have failed me, folks, sadly there. So that'll be it. That'll be a gif on Telegram that you'll see for various points for reactions. I appear to be the butt of that joke, which is fine. Let's do predictions, Seb, one last time, hopefully. Worth noting it. Thank goodness for Telegram. You can see I've just removed my.
I was thinking it's the strip. The command strip suddenly moved, and there's
it's my OCD. It just was bugging me, so I've removed it there. Right. Jack has made it really interesting, folks. A win for him, but you had only lost by 1 point from Jack. I was behind in sixth place. I needed Leicester to help me out on Monday night. Jack went for a draw in that one, and I predicted the win. So it's a 2 point gap between me to Jack, and one difference in rounds. So it's really tight. And probably of all the weekends that you want, if this was serious, and there was lots of important things riding on this, I think you wouldn't want the last day to be predicting, because there is the potential for 12:30 nonsense. We haven't talked about 12:30, by the way.
No,
there's a lot of stuff in our YouTube comments. Yeah. Not going to indulge that nonsense. But there is the chance of some randomness. Let's put the schedule up on the screen, Seb. Let's Let's talk through these one by one because there's a lot of interest. Maybe we'll skip through some of the mid-table-y stuff, but I want to get your take on the there is relegation places that need to be decided. There's a playoff spot, maybe or two, that need to be decided, and obviously the stuff at the top of the league table as well. Birmingham Norwich, what's your thinking there? You've gone for a draw, as have I.
Yeah, I just think that Norwich aren't amazing away from home, are they? They kind of stumbled recently on their travels. Birmingham will look to be, you know, scrap and fight, and Gary Rowe will set them up to be aggressive and competitive. Norwich can't get higher than obviously where they are now in the league. West Brom potentially could move back above them, so I've gone for the safe choice and played for a draw.
Yep. Jack going for Birmingham win there. That would certainly shake things up down the bottom. Coventry QPR, we're all predicting Coventry to finish their season with a win, having lost to us and been on a bit of a bad run. Let's skip through us. Leeds Southampton, I'm not expecting any favours from Leeds or Southampton, frankly. But you and Jack both go for a one all draw.
Yeah, I think that potentially, I mean, if we were to score early, the news will filter down to them and you might see a raft of changes in the second half. And there was an interesting debate in Telegram this week. Ben and Joe were debating it, saying, you know, how do those clubs approach that? Because potentially, we'll keep using the word potentially, that could be a dress rehearsal for a playoff final, couldn't it? You know, if things go the way we hope they're going to go, if we can get ourselves across the line. So do you show your hand too early? Do you, you know, there's no chance that Leeds, I don't think, will rest players at the start because there is still a chance we could lose. And can you imagine a world where we lose and they draw and he's played other reserve players, their fans would be going off the scale. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting game. And I just get the impression that if we were to do our business by, let's say, half time, then potentially news might filter through and Southampton desperately need something to go into the playoffs, having lost four on the bounce, yeah, would be almost, you know, fatal for them. So I've just got a feeling they might pull one out, and the general kind of energy around Elland Road hopefully will dissipate in the second half, and Russell Martin might get himself a point there. And it's worth pointing out that he hates Daniel Farker, doesn't he? So he certainly,
yeah, that was an interesting dimension to last night's pods. Reaction, there was a really good chat kind of extending Seb's thoughts there as well, so definitely recommend that, as well as chat, yeah, about
so he'll be up for it
as well. So yeah, interesting thought there. We're all expecting Leicester to beat Blackburn. I'm expecting a bit of a goal fest there. Smolich might get a couple, but I think Leicester will want to bow out with style when they're receiving the trophy. Borough-Watford, not much riding on that one. Plymouth-Hull, we are expecting Plymouth to be in big trouble, Seb.
Yes, I think so. I was really impressed with Hull the other night. When was it? Yep. Feels like an age ago now. I thought they were an excellent side. I thought they've got so much attacking quality, very similar playing style to ourselves. I simply don't think Plymouth will be able to deal with them. I think they'll blow them away fairly comfortably.
Fair,
but unfortunately, dude. Spoiler alert, I've gone for West Brom to win, so I don't think Hull will make it, unfortunately. But yeah, I was really, really impressed with them the other night.
Yep, Rotherham, Cardiff, feels like there's not much riding on that one. Stoke, Bristol City, similarly, we're all expecting, well, you and I are expecting Sheffield Wednesday to get another result to make it definitive and remove any lingering doubt. Jack is going for a Sunderland win, no, just to mix things up. Swansea, Millwall, feels like a pretty of a dead rubber as well. I think Swansea will do that, but you're going for draws. And then West Brom, Preston, we're expecting West Brom to sort themselves out. Kind of similar to your sentiment about Southampton. West Brom have been on really shaky form as well, but
yeah,
home against Preston, who are, you know,
The ultimate, yeah, on the beach side. Them and Sunderland are the two ultimate on the beach side for the last few weeks, aren't they? So I think West, yeah, Brom will do that relatively comfortably. So in our world, who stays up at the bottom? Is it Birmingham or Plymouth?
Bottom, at the bottom.
Trying to look at the league table now. Come on.
I think I've calculated that in mine, Birmingham still go down.
All different.
But it's by two goals because they are 1 point behind Plymouth. And
four goals in it.
They need a bit of a swing there. I mean, Sam Parkin recommend watching Ben's show, the Championship Check-In, when Sam thinks that Birmingham might get a result there, as does Jack, and that might...
They've done it before, let's be honest. You know, on last day of the season, Birmingham have turned up in the past and got the win they need.
It's the wrong manager, I think. Maybe, but St Andrews, we know, is the right times is a really fearsome place to go, so I wouldn't want to be Norwich going there, especially given they don't want to get roughed up ahead of the playoffs themselves. So it's going to be really interesting, but I think our draw for Birmingham, and unless you're predicting Hull to win 5 or 6, I think they'll survive by goal difference. Goodness me. Let's finally talk about ours and look at the consistency there. 2-0 wins predicted across the board.
Interesting.
I'm thinking a goal in each half. We'll come to the chat as well. If you haven't got your prediction in, get it in now. What say you, Seb? Show you're working.
I don't think it will be in Exeter. They don't tend to get battered. I was looking at how many times they've conceded 3 and 4 and stuff on the road, and it doesn't really happen that often. So we've already mentioned they can be difficult to beat. They draw an awful lot of games. We've already said they've only lost, was it 8 or 9 away from home this season. So I don't think it will be as easy as Exeter. Like you, I expect a goal in each half. Hopefully the second one round about kind of 60, 65 minutes to kind of put us all out of our misery and we can start enjoying things. But yes, I think we will win. And as crazy as it sounds, I think the next time there is a Blue Monday podcast, we may well hopefully be a Premier League side.
Blue Monday caveat. Good. Let's see what the chat has to say. Goodness me. There is some confidence in the chat, which is making me feel very uncomfortable.
But obviously, as we said tonight, the caveat could be, you know, if the recognisable first teamers don't play and it's you know, he brings on kids at the hour mark, then it could be a battering. So maybe people's confidence is well-founded. Maybe you and me are too cynical doing this too long, mate. Maybe.
And as I said right at the start, there is some emotional self-preservation going on there. No, not a huge amount of people would have predicted maybe a win on Tuesday night and we got it. So I get that people will process the next few days in different ways, and that's fine. There's no judgment here. Seb and I have shown our hands, as has Jack, but let's see what the chat has to say. David's going for a 4-1. It does feel like there might be a set-piece goal perhaps in there for Huddersfield if they're playing the recognised personnel. HCH backing us up with a 2-0 streak. He's going 4. Chris, similarly, 2-0 first half. Wow. 4-0 second half. There you go. Confidence there. Toffee Crisp, 3-0. Kiel, Ipswich Town Old Boy. I couldn't follow what you predicted. So if you want to repost it again, then go for it and I'll post it back up. Eric. Goodness me, Eric. 0-0 he's going for there. I'm going to put it on the screen nevertheless. No judgment here, apart from my slightly scorny voice there. Apologies for that. AD and Charlie both going for 3s. Very Finnish problems, 3-1. Rando, repeat of Exeter, he's going 6. Tommy going for Town, 2. Nil Town, he says. I assume Ipswich Town, of course. Chaplin Al Hamadi is goal scorers. Al Hamadi, Seb, does he get on the bench today on Saturday?
I don't think so. If everybody's fit again and good to go again, I don't think so. I think his striking option is going to be George Hurst starting, Kiefer Moore off the bench. I think he got himself incredibly unlucky, you know, him and Marcus Harness, to miss out on the bench is no slight on them. It's just the way the squad is at being at full fitness. But, you know, both have played crucial roles so far this season and can be very proud of his kind of, you know, his 4 months he's been with us, scored some big, big goals and we needed him to.
Yep. Hat trick of 3-1s here from David Bergen. Our mate David, good to see you. Trickier game than people think. 3-1 win in the end. He's saying hopefully everything crossed. Exactly right, David. Stubbs 3-1 as well. Ipswich will not make it an easy watch. There'll always be drama, but he's confident of it. And Zorak has gone for a 3-1 as well. One before halftime, 1 on 80. And one goal early, 1 before halftime, 1 goal 80. And then Huddersfield.
A 2-0 at half time, a late goal for us, and they score a concert.
Thanks, mate. Stephen's going for a 4-0. He's hoping an early goal could open the floodgates. Epping Tutor, OCM stands for outcome. So you successfully predicted the correct win, lose, or draw, but you didn't get the scoreline correct. So that's what outcome is for there. There's Anthony. There you go. Huddersfield to score.
No,
score first to make it interesting.
No.
But
Go away. Ban him. Kick him out of the chat.
Kick him out, ban him. No. Thank you, Anthony, for joining in and sticking around for 58 minutes. Love it. Neil's going for a Birmingham 1-0 win. Colin, this is my 60th season and the first time I've ever done every game of season. Congrats, Colin. Wow. What a record that is. Love that. Paul going for another 3-1. Neil, Saints may get slapped. I kind of think Leeds won't want to leave any doubt, and I think that's Ben's sentiment as well. Andreas 2-1, Hurst and Moore. Oh, the striker's doing the business. Good stuff. Barnaby, a clean 3-0 would be Hurst, Chaplin and Burns. Gem 4-0 Birmingham City. David Bradley going 4-1 to the Super Blues. Lovely stuff, folks. I want to stay here, Seb. At the moment, this is kind of a bubble of not having to think about things. So I'm going to linger on. If you've got a question for Seb. You want to put it in there before we go? We'll do that. We'll do a little extra 5 minutes of bonus time, shall we? I think AD has asked us about Chapman. I think we both believe maybe not, but someone, I think it was Neil said, was it Neil? Apologies if it wasn't, that he is fresh. He didn't feature on Tuesday night, did he? So do you want to,
I think it'll depend on Burns' fitness. If Burns is just the cramp that he kind of pulled up with, then yeah, I'd imagine Chapman will be on the bench because you have to play Burns again. No chance can you drop Hutchinson, and Broadhead tends to be kind of a big player in home games. So I think he gets that left-hand slot.
Yep. Maurizio, 6-0, he says, a memory muscle, carnival time. I love the confidence. I think we put a very finished problems before, but I'm doing it again. There you go. I'm double bubbling it. That's fine. Nick, just get a point. Yeah, put your finger in the air, folks. Just 1 point. That's all we need. Matt, after 20 plus years of decline, frustration, disappointment, this is our time. That's our time. We deserve the opportunity. Let's get it done. Let's get it done. 3-2 says Mark. 3-2. It would be. I mean, it's the standard scoreline, isn't it? That's the Ipswich scoreline.
Hopefully in less dramatic terms than we've seen recently. If it's like Bristol City and we're 2-1 down going into the 80th minute, I don't think we'll be able to take that.
Yep. Jem wants a clean sheet. There you go. Rando Vaz to score a penalty. 90 plus 5 to score the sixth. I love that working as well.
There are a few questions I can see there about asking about squad and who leaves and who comes in. Let's not do that, guys. Come on. This squad is...
We'll deal with that Sunday.
If we get there,
That's flagship.
We don't want to jinx it or anything, or I don't want to sit here and say that certain players aren't good enough for the Premier League either, if we were to get there, because they're an absolutely superb bunch of characters. So we'll leave that one for later on in the summer, I think.
It's our mates at Leicester Till I Die TV. Leicester fan in peace. Just want to say good luck Saturday. Thank you. Congratulations to Leicester. Big credit them. Little few stumbly moments, but just relentlessly consistent and got the job done. So congratulations to Leicester, and hopefully we'll be speaking with you guys next season. We won't be back. Well, I'm hoping we won't be back to do the results, but we'll figure out a way to communicate those. Certainly if Jack has won on Telegram.
No one cares. Oh, because you and Jack can still, right? Okay, brilliant.
Yeah, so me and Jack have got some interest there. So we'll figure out a way to communicate that. Blue Monday caveat.
And watch out for me probably wearing a t-shirt at the first home game of next season.
Exactly right. And maybe me as well, though. Let's be clear. It might be my turn to be embarrassed too. Let's listen to some editors very quickly. If you want a shout out, now is the time to do it. We're going to do some summings up, and then we're going to say goodbye to you and leave you all to it very quickly. Thank you so much, everyone who is watching, wherever you're watching. We are nearing 800 concurrent viewers in the live stream, which is, I think, probably some kind of a record. So please do thumbs up. It makes such a big difference for us. Please do subscribe. We're hopefully, Blue Monday caveat, having lots of exciting stuff to talk about as well. We very much want you here with us. But thank you so much for getting involved in the chat as well. Great to see the discussion flowing. Please support ITFC fans supporting food banks. Head down to the AGL, watch ITFC women. Go and get your breakfast BAP from the Greyhound pre-match 9:30 opening. And please do check out Glory Days artwork, our Telegram group. The link for that, bluemondayitfc.co.uk, in the description. There's a little menu. But the flagship show back with as many of as we can get, hashtag Blue Monday caveat, to talk through Saturday's game, and it will be great to see lots of you there as well. Please like, subscribe, all that jazz. Seb, thank you, my friend, as always, for all your hard work. And as we said, hopefully we won't be doing another one of these for a while. If that's the case, thank you everyone for the kind of pre-match community we have here, the weather reports from Brisbane, the rando reactions, the GIFs as well. We appreciate all of you. Thank you so much. As I say, hopefully we won't be back for a while. We'll leave it at that. But Seb, I'll hand over to you and put some comments on the screen.
Yes, it's me to take us out one last time on the pre-match show. Just to echo your thoughts quickly, thank you so much to everybody for the kind words in the comments. This is our third full season, I think, now of the pre-match show. And we've gone from kind of, 300 views in total, where I'm trying to talk to you about who will take Morecambe's fifth corner of the second half, to now having 800 concurrent viewers, whatever that means, is an absolutely phenomenal place to be. So thank you so much. And yes, one last time, the guys said it on the podcast last night, one last push, one more point, and we get ourselves there. And this team, somebody said it earlier, I think it was Matt Phillips, said this team is one step away from immortality. And that's so true. You know, Dave can sit here and list the 81 team. You've got Craig can sit here and list the 91, 92 team. You, me, Ben, Mikey, Joe, we are the late 90s team. And this side is about to join, hopefully, Blue Monday caveat, is hopefully about to join these kind of conversations given what they've achieved. It's phenomenal. We deserve this. We sat through, let's be honest, 20 years of absolute crap. And hopefully now this is where things are about to turn. We've watched other sides. Leicester have won the Premier League. We've watched other fairy tale sporting stories, and we've kind of sat there and thought, this never happens to us. Why can't we experience kind of magical moments like this? And hopefully, Blue Monday caveat, on Saturday, we're about to get that kind of wish and get ourselves across the line. So, Rich, join me one last time to take us out. My finger is in the air. Everybody in the chat, put the one in.
One more point,
and we will be in the Premier League. Rich, I'm going to count down. 3, 2, 1.
Come on, you Blues!
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.